Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. I want to spend a little bit of time with you and just have you turn to Matthew, a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 28. And won't be anything brand new, hopefully, tonight, but maybe something to be encouraging and reminding. The fall campaign coming up, we'll talk more about it as it comes. I do want to, it's mainly, let me say this just to kind of encourage you. Those of you that, I don't believe that the people of our church are scared of work. That's not our way. That's not who we are. But don't think of the campaign that's coming up. Don't think of it in light of what we do for our camp campaign, where it's very stringent and we're trying to count points and all the things. It's a wonderful campaign. But if you're a Sunday school teacher or a worker and you work on a bus, you know that there's a lot of record keeping. And this is not going to be that way. It's majorly an invitational campaign. We're going to give invitations to people. It's just a way for us to encourage people to come and be in the services. We're going to have several weeks to try to, in all kinds of different ways, for you to have a good way to invite people and a reason to get them here and to get with you. We're going to have a gift table in the back, and you and your guests will be able to take something. How many of you ever been a part of something like that, either here or somewhere else, where you get something? Amen. If you invite somebody. And so we want to kind of lay it out in the future, but I want to just kind of tell you to be praying for it. We've been kind of announcing it because we want you to pray. And let me invite you to do this. I know that in the last few years, I've seen a few of this, and I know I'm headed this way, so let me encourage you. We say, come stand with us on Life Chain, okay? If you can't stand with us at Life Chain, come and sit out there with us at Life Chain. It's impressive whether, again, when a set of people that have grown older and physically can't stand for an hour beside the road, but they still show up and set up a chair and hold the sign. That's impressive to a set of people because, again, you're still standing up for life. So many times we think, again, we're one body of believers, and it doesn't matter whether it's the smallest one, and, you know, some of them, we can't trust them. We handcuff them to us because we don't want them running in the road, but we want them to be a part of it as well. And so don't exempt yourself. Whatever you got to do, whether you got to sit back farther off the road, get yourself an umbrella to shade yourself, whatever you got to do to prepare, we want everybody in our church to be a part of that, to make your way out there and take your place on the side of the road and take your stand for life. Whether that's sitting, kneeling, standing, shaded, whatever it is, we want you to be there and be a part of it because we want to just stand up for life. Amen. And we believe that. I believe our church ought to show up and represent itself well for life. Amen. And there's momentum going that way, folks. If you've been listening to the news, there's momentum. Our world, we don't live in a world where they all believe that baby is just a bunch of tissue. Amen. I was encouraged today. I talked to Brother Tim on the phone, and I hope to encourage you with this. He said that his little baby is out of the incubator now. And so pray for them. They're going to need some help, and they'll probably be contacting some of you college students and maybe some other friends here. Because they need to go. They've been going quite a bit, but they've been able to take the boys with them, and because she was kind of behind glass, and now they're going to need to have some people watch their boys while they go, and they want to spend as much time. They can't bring the baby home yet, but they're going to want to spend more time and hold the baby when they can. So, if you could, as a church family, they're still here in Haines City, even though he's pastoring up there. They got about two more weeks before their house is completely emptied and sold, and they move. But if we could be a help as a church body to him. Please do that if you can. If you can help him, just contact him and say, hey, brother, you know, if I'm open this day, if you want to try to schedule something for that day, I'll watch your kids or whatever. It'll be a big help and an encouragement to them. That's one small thing going on in their life right now, amen, that they need help with. And that's something we all could do if we just schedule it along the way. The devotionals are getting printed. I wanted to show you, it is deep and it is wide now, all right? And so it's going to be on the back table for Sunday. Get one. The song that was sang tonight, I meant something to me, not only because there was a little girl that I'm related to that was up there, but, you know, I have been blessed, and I hope you've been blessed by the Lord. And Brother Perkins is talking about the Bahamas, but I spent the last, I don't know if you, and I don't typically tell you which ones I write and which ones somebody else write, but last month, the Lord just spoke to my heart. This last devotional, I wrote a month of being blessed, what it means to be blessed by God. And that really meant something to me. God just kind of moved in my heart, and I kind of just began to do a study and to just see where the first mention of blessed was and how it progressed through the Bible, and wrote the devotionals to that in. And I just thank God. It really, we don't realize how blessed we truly are. When we think about how good it is to have mom, how good it is to have dad, and when they were singing that, I got broken about how God blessed me, and I was raised in a Christian home, but then when they hit that last verse and I got who God is to me. And again, you know, even if I didn't have all the things that came in all the other verses before, I got the last verse. I got a God who is my shelter, my shield. He's my deliverer, all those things that we can say. And so what a blessing it is. I want to talk to you tonight about something, and I'm going to try not to preach. I'm going to try to teach tonight. So pray for me. Amen. I have trouble with that. And I don't like to use the word teachy. However, it is not a reward, so I probably shouldn't. But anyway, so I want to speak on the subject tonight on we have much more than purpose. We have much more than purpose. If you have lived any amount of time, some of the college students maybe not, wouldn't even, they maybe as children would hear people, fundamentalists like our pastor, rip against 40 days of purpose. Rick Warren came out, and I don't think he's going to get mad with me tonight for mentioning his name. He's already made millions of dollars off the book, so I don't think it's, you know, it's in resale now. It's in its like 10th reselling copy, and I thought it was interesting, and I have to tell this story just because it's on Dr. Pitts. And he was doing the church sign during that time when that first came out, and one of the other churches that should not be named in town put up on their sign 40 days of purpose. So he went out and put on the sign 365 days of purpose, and pastor made him take it down. But anyway, so amen. But because he felt like, you know, we didn't want to get against them. You're just glad that they're doing something, amen. And so but praise the Lord. But you know, we do have 365 days of purpose in our life. But we're, again, I just in study and thinking about the word purpose, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And we preached that and we talked about that, and that's not where I want to go, but the contrast of purpose, I defined the word, and I want to read this to you tonight. Purpose in the 1828 dictionary is defined as this: that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. And we would say amen to that. But as a church body, we don't have to. So many times the world searches for purpose. The world searches, and so many times, and I want to kind of set this for you because I want you to be able to go where I feel like the Lord's leading my heart tonight. But sometimes in our own lives, we think of God's will as a purpose, seeking for a purpose, and that is a worldly mentality. We are not searching for purpose. We are not looking within ourselves to come up with what it is that we should be, do, invest ourselves in, or spend ourselves on. We are not looking for purpose. We have a mission. It's not something that we look internally for. It's been commanded. It's been laid out. Once you receive Christ and you get in Him and in Christ, you don't have to look for purpose in yourself. You can look for a mission in Him. Before the foundation of the world, He laid out His mission and His commission. And in good time, He laid it out of what He wanted us to be a part of. And so tonight, I want to just give you some simple, basic truths to remind a group of people who knew it before. Some of you knew it before I knew what the mission was and the Great Commission is, but we need to be reminded of it, because sometimes we are so affected by the world, we think this is our purpose. Words matter. This is an every word Bible, and we have a purpose and a mission, but we purpose things in ourselves that we choose to do. But we don't have to choose standards because they're laid out in the Bible. We don't have to purpose in ourselves to live a certain way because we have commandments. We don't have to choose our purpose to be a soul winner. We're commanded to go. We have a commission, which is so great. And I know that that's not deep, But I want to tell you, we've got so much more than purpose. We got so much more than the world. We get to choose every day whether we're going to live His mission or seek to fulfill the mission God made for us or fulfill the Great Commission or whether we're going to live in our own purposes. And even though some of them may be good, every one of us have chosen. Sometimes we choose our own purpose over God's mission. We choose our own purposes to be fulfilled that would seem right or moral, but not godly fulfilling in the mission of God's mission in our lives. Now, if I can say this, with this Sunday school campaign coming up, I've been kind of reading a lot of different things, and I felt like this would be profitable for our church. And again, this is not a message. The title was more message. I've already kind of given you, all right, the main meat of what I wanted to say as far as the mission. I'm going to read you some verses to back it up to follow all this. But Dr. Lee Robertson, if anybody knew Sunday school, Dr. Lee Robertson knew what Sunday school was. If anybody could say, I could come up here tonight and try to tell you, this is seven things that a great Sunday school is. So I was looking all over the place and trying to see different men, and I found that Dr. Robertson, he taught them a lesson. They put it in one of his books, and I want to read you the seven things that he says are contained in a great Sunday school. I believe we are in the greatest church in America tonight. I believe we are a part and members of a church that has always been about the commission of Jesus Christ and about its mission. But we need to constantly be put in remembrance of what we're here to do. We are gathered tonight in fellowship to encourage one another to be about the mission that God has given us. We are here collectively. We bind together and put money in the plate because that's God's way to fulfill His commission. We're here tonight collectively because we can do more as a local body of believers trying to fulfill the Great Commission than any one of us could do on our own. We are all, listen, anything without a singular head is a monster. So we're going to follow our pastor the way God laid it out. Amen. And all of us as a church, man, we need to get in these things. And so he wrote these seven essentials things for having a great Sunday school, and I wrote them down. Don't worry, it's only on two pages, all right? And I'm watching the clock, all right? Seven essential things. If you want to write them down, you can. I may make my wife type it and make it available to you, or I'll ask her politely. Either way, you won't be there, so you don't know which one's going to happen. I know which one's going to happen. It's probably the latter. Okay, here we go. The seven essential things for having a great Sunday school. Number one, you have to have faith in the infallible Word of God. You know what blessed my heart, Brother Scotty? I've heard a lot of people. I did not know Dr. Lee Robertson myself, and I've heard all kinds of things about him. He's been a great man. But in his book that was printed in the late 70s, that statement that he made said, faith in the infallible, inspired Word of God. And that was not by mistake. That is what Dr. Lee Robertson believed. And that's important because, you know, there's a bunch of people that don't believe the book that we hold in our hand is inspired today. They believe it's preserved. Well, I'd say amen to that. They believe it's infallible. Amen. It's inerrant. But inspired, they stop short. There are some people that have been in our midst, and even that we can't even ask to come back to our 40th anniversary of our Bible college because they don't believe that anymore. Because of people that are too smart for me, amen? Too smart. They got too big for their own britches, amen? Because the book is inspired. Because it's alive. Amen. Its author is alive and lives within me, the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. He says here, number two, what's essential for a great Sunday school, to have a great Sunday school program, is a zeal for the lost. Let me ask you, folks, and again, I'm not necessarily preaching his outline, but let me just say, what we need. One of the reasons we were trying to amp up and talk about these weeks, because to be able to suck up sometimes our pride or our fear, which is the enemy of faith, and to take an invitation to somebody that we truly care about, that we work with every day, and to hand it to them and say, will you go to church with me? That takes boldness. That takes encouragement. Sometimes it takes the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside. And sometimes it just takes the Holy Ghost because you don't know what to say, but I want you to ordain the words, Lord. But we need a zeal. We need to be excited about winning people. Tonight, the college went out. Can I just say this? The college went out, and the high schoolers went with us, and we didn't go but very few blocks from this place today. All right? I mean, how could people be lost living across the street from Landmark Baptist Church? Amen. 9 people got saved today. Amen. That's the ones we know of and we counted that got saved today. One lady talked to somebody and said, I used to go to Eastside over here, and I'm not as good as I used to be about getting around. I don't think I could attend church, and I sure do miss preaching. I wish I could hear some preaching. I wish I could get out like that. And really had a desire, sincere desire. And said, well, you know, we got a radio station. That lady's lived in this town, I mean, years. And she said, and somebody said, well, we have a radio station. You can listen to our services live. She said, you all have a radio station in Haines City? You say, brother, listen, I'm here to tell you, our community in Haines City is so transient, so moving about. Some of you may have lived here your whole life, but people have moved in and out all around us. And even if you knocked your neighborhood before and invited everybody around you, it probably needs to be done again, doesn't it? Because people just a few blocks from here needed to hear about Jesus and accept him. Amen? And we need to do that all over, not just in Haines City, but beyond our Jerusalem, if I could say that tonight. So we go on. He says that, number three, if we're going to have an essentials for a great Sunday school, is you need to have standards for your teachers. Look, we didn't make him say that. I didn't go back in time and twist Brother Lee Robertson's arm and make him pen down that you needed to have standards for your teachers. Can I just say that that's how it's always been, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, devil-hating churches. That's how it's always been. It's not how it still is today with everybody, but it is here. Thank God for it. We've been blessed to have a pastor that stayed the course and stayed and stuck and still the way he was when he started. Amen. And again, what do you mean? Standards. Boy, we get bent out of shape. You know what he wrote under standards? Saved teachers. Amen. Baptized teachers. Would that be good? Amen. Members of the local church if they're going to teach in the class. Then he wrote faithful. Faithful in attendance. Faithful to visitation. Faithful. Amen. Listen to this. In tithing. Then he wrote underneath of that, they ought to be loyal to the Lord, number one, to their pastor, and to the program of the local church. You know, loyalty is an old school word. We don't use it a whole lot today. But you know, we ought to be loyal to the local church. We ought to be loyal to the program of the local church. We ought to be loyal. I'm here to tell you, we ought to be loyal to our pastor. You know, somebody that would talk bad about your preacher ought to get a fat lip before they get away from you. I'm just here to tell you. Amen. And how in the world we live in a day and age where Christians will let people just bring down the name of the Lord in vain around us, and it don't bother us. We won't even stand up for him like we used to. Say, hey, I'm a Christian. Please don't talk that way about my Lord. Please don't talk that way about my Savior. We'll just let it go. Well, what a witness it is just to stand up for him sometimes. He goes on and says, number four, a weekly visitation program. Amen. We have one. On Thursday nights, we go out Wednesday night. We go out more. We have more than one weekly visitation time. And if you ask about it, we'll get you plugged into one if you want to go out. That we made an announcement. If you don't know how to go out and win a soul, well, we got programs and people. The Fishers of Men and the Foster Club will train you to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ if you want to go. Number five, a weekly teacher and officers meeting. We have one.
That's what's essential for, essential for a church. If you teach Sunday school, it's essential that you're in a weekly meeting where you talk about what's going on Sunday, what's coming up. If you teach Sunday school, and we have one every week up in the Victory Room. Amen. And it's not big enough to hold all the people that ought to be in there. And if you need to know what time it is, I'll tell you, it's at 6:59. Don't be there then, you'll be late. 6:55. Amen. That's where it's at in the Victory Room. You say, Brother Parsons, I can't get here. I'm just telling you, listen, you don't want to miss the things at your church. You say, Brother Parsons, how in the world did you make it there? Listen, because my preacher expects me to be there. Amen. He'd be looking for me. You say, well, would you get fired if you don't show up? I don't know. I didn't do it. I show up. You say, well, is it only for staff members? Let me go through this again. It's a weekly teacher and workers meeting. So every year we have this thing called a teachers and a workers banquet. Okay? If you show up at that and eat, then that meeting is for you. Okay? That's how, I'm just trying to make it plain. All right? All right, that's the time you ought to be up there. All right, so amen. So that's essential. If we're going to have a great Sunday school, then our teachers have to attend the teachers and workers meeting, because that's where the pastor gets up and we're loyal to him, and he gets up and tells us what we're doing Sunday. This is where we're doing. We're going to run the buses. We do that every week. I don't need to be at that meeting. Well, maybe we're going to run them different. Maybe he'll say, hey, I don't like you the way you drive. You're going to back up to your whole route. Amen. You say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't do that. He didn't do that. So, amen. But we need to be there to hear what's going on and to be informed. Sometimes I've heard it over and over again, and I don't want to say that it's not true, because it's true of me. But so many times we think we have communication problems, but there are meetings set up to communicate, but we don't attend them. Amen. People say, I don't get all the communication. Well, where were you at Wednesday night? Where were you at Sunday night? Where were you at on Wednesday night when we had the teachers meeting and we informed everybody of what was going on? Amen. We have a radio station. We have better ways of communicating than we ever have. We need to communicate, but we need to show up when it's time to show up. And not just say, I don't need to be at that, or I'm busy. Amen. We need to work on our schedule so we can be a part of the program of the local church. Amen. Be faithful to it. A constant teaching program on Sunday. Amen. We have that. We have the infallible Word of God. And we have a preacher that teaches and tells us, listen, we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can get in the classroom and praise God. Just preach or teach whatever it is that you're doing in your classroom. Or just proclaim the name of Christ in there. Number 7, a definite goal. And I just tell you what the goal, we have the Great Commission. I wrote it real fast so that I could give it to you tonight. Number 1, we win them to Christ. This is our definite goals. Our goal when they get on the property is to win them to Christ. Our second goal when they get on the property is to wed them for Christ. Amen? And to get them into local church and be a part. Then we welcome them into the fellowship of the local church. And then we work them. No, we don't. We walk them through discipleship. Amen? Sometimes we skip that, don't we? We need people. I talk to our staff upstairs. Can I just say, people, you know, even though we have arrived and we know how to win people to Christ, and we've got our soul winning partner that we've gone with for the last 30 years, maybe it's time for the two of you to break up that long-term relationship and find somebody else to train to be saved, to teach them how to save somebody else, to win them to Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, do you really mean that? I really mean that. Can I just say, my grandfather, his name was Brother Cupcake. That's what they called him, amen? That wasn't his real name, but that's what they called him, Brother Cupcake. Amen? It bothered him because some girl back when he was dating, my grandmother told on him, said they called him Cupcake, and it stuck. All right, so Brother Cupcake, my grandfather impressed upon me to be a soul winner. I watched him be faithful through the years. He was someone who didn't have the best upbringing. His mom died in a back alley abortion, and he never knew her. He was raised by his grandfather, but somewhere along the way heard about Jesus Christ and didn't always live right, but got right. And then when he found his way to an independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church that taught him to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized there was a commission on his life to be a witness for Christ. And I remember going as a boy, my grandfather had a dresser. And I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again. My grandfather always used those classic soul-winning New Testaments. That's what he used. And the back has lines in it for names of people that you've won to Christ so you can pray for them. And my grandfather would buy a New Testament, and he would fill that New Testament with names that he had won to Jesus Christ. And he would leave it on his dresser. And my grandfather, the top of his dresser, he had a long dresser like this, and maybe a little higher. And his half of the dresser was full of New Testaments. And I asked him, I said, "Papa, what do you need all these New Testaments for?" He said, "Boy," he said, "they're trophies for me." He said, "when I look at that, it reminds me of crayons. It reminds me of why I spent time invested in the work of God. Not just for me, and I wanted them to be saved, but God promised me some things if I'd be faithful to him." He said, "and I've been faithful all this time to be a witness for Jesus Christ, ever since I knew I was supposed to." Can I just say, we got a great commission, and we have goals. Folks, it's not like we need to set new ones. We just need to get back to the old ones that we've always had, winning them, wetting them, and welcome them into the fellowship of the local church, to walk them in discipleship and take them by the hand and say, "Hey, you want to go with me? I'm going Tuesday night, 7:00. Why don't you come with me, Jacob? Why don't we go out together?" You know, people want to be around you. They want to know, they want to be around other Christians. And if we just invite them to be with us and to help us to do the thing that we know is right to do, they'd go with us and they'd get hooked like we were. I played golf. I hated golf. There was a golf team at my high school. I thought that was I honestly believe that the worst thing on the planet Earth was people chasing a little white ball around the planet. And then somebody talked me into going to a driving range. And the only reason that I enjoyed it is because somebody was in this cart picking up the balls, and we were trying to hit him. And I was swinging like a baseball bat and a hockey stick. I was trying to get this guy. And finally, I got some, stance about me. Some guys helped me a little bit. And I mean, right near the end of the night, right about the time the man's dad came out of the place that owned the joint, I had gotten a good stance, and I wasn't even trying to hit him that time. And I got all of it. And if you've ever played golf, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I didn't swing hard. I didn't try. I just was trying to swing cleanly through the ball, and I got every bit of it. And it went right towards that kid in that car and hit the windshield. And his dad threw us out of there. And I couldn't go back to the driving range. But from then on, I have loved golf, and I was hooked. I don't play. I don't have time for that because that would be my own purpose. I've got a commission. Can I just say tonight, we got a commission. We've got things that are more than a purpose. More than what the world has. We have a God who, a powerful. Can I read you the definition of commission tonight? The thing committed, entrusted, or delivered, letters, all right, a patent. I mean, hey, if there anybody got a patent on the gospel, it's the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you? Or anything, look, any writing from proper authority given to a person as his warrant for exercising certain powers or the performance of any duty, whether civil, ecclesiastical, or military. It is a charge, an order, a mandate with authority given behind it. We not only have a great commission, but we were empowered. Jesus said in Matthew 28, where we're going to go, "all power has been given unto me." He's going to say in several places about the power that's given to me, and I charge you. He gives authority. The church that he started and that he purchased with his own blood, that same church was given a commission and the goals that we ought to set forth for ourselves every Sunday that are essential to having a great Sunday school. And sometimes we'd rather read those kind of books written by men than this book that tells us all about it. Matthew 28, would you go with me there? Say, "Brother Parsons, there's a lot of time without Bible." Look at it with me. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Where are you at tonight? They were all disciples of Jesus Christ, but some of them were, I don't know about this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark. The end of the book of Mark, 16th chapter. I want to read some verses that are familiar again to you. I mean, very familiar scriptures tonight. I just want to remind you of the commission that we've been given. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on, the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord, most of us don't read this far, had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Can I just say, he promised that he'd go all the way with us. He didn't say all ways, he said all the way, all the way. And then we see that these guys left that place. Turn to Acts chapter 1 so we can finish up. I've been teaching the book of Acts in college, and we're deep. We just got to chapter 2. Amen. We may finish about half of the book first semester. Amen. I got that from my preacher, though. Amen. Amen. And I want to say this, that there's so many wonderful things in the book, but sometimes we take this great commission so lightly, and it tells us so many deep things about our very goals every week when we meet, every day of our lives, what our life is bound up in, and not a purpose, but commissioned to live and breathe our mission, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, look at it with me if you would. We'll go to verse number, for time's sake, 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. Can I just say, he gives them an account. So the things that we're given here, we're supposed to be teachers. We're commanded to go and teach. We're commanded to preach. And we're commanded to be witnesses. We're commissioned in those areas of our lives. And our commission is to be tied up in those things, to teach the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach that commission and to witness for him. And no matter what it is that you feel like God has called you to in those three areas, okay, that's the calling of God, folks. When we talk about the will of God, those are all three the will of God, and one of your gifts fall in one of those three areas: teaching, preaching, or witnessing. Can I just say tonight, what a commission. What a blessing to be a part of that. What more than the world could we have? And then he says, this is how I want you to break the world down. Both, look at it with me. I want you to go back to verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Most people heavy on the Holy Spirit here, and he is going to fall on the church and give them power. Church doesn't start in the book of Acts. It started in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both. How many is both? Is that three? It's two. You want to find missions in your Bible? There's home and away. Amen. Just like you play in the gym. All right? It's home and away. Those are the teams, and that's how we separate our ministry work. He says Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. We don't just run buses in Haines City, do we? We run them in Poinciana, We run them in Dundee. We run in Arbondale. We run in Davenport. We run all over our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, because it's home missions right here in our town, getting the commission out. And there are places we can't drive a bus to, like the Bahamas. All right? Some of these brothers would like to try, but I don't, you know, it ain't going to work for us. Amen? Flotation devices, as we need a lot of them. But those places are the uttermost parts of the world for us. And we send people from our midst, and we have and will continue as long as people continue to keep their goals right and not look for their own purpose inside themselves, but follow the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world. Listen tonight, church, we've had this. You know this. This is not new, but listen, we're going to start a campaign. We're going to have another great opportunity. All right? It's one of those things where the cart's going to be lined up. In football, they brought the sled out. They didn't make us go get it out of the back. They brought it out on the field and then gave us the opportunity to push it. Not for just them. You know, the coach didn't gain anything by pushing the sled. I felt like they were working me, but I was the one gaining the muscle. I was the one learning. I was the one getting all the blessings. I was the one racking up rewards in myself. But either way, I felt like somebody else was making me push it. Now that you've put away childish things and we put away the football and the games, how about thinking about realizing that every time, sometimes when your preacher gets up and pushes you, when they challenge you, when we have a campaign to go and to do and to witness, they're not trying to prod you on to do something evil, but to help you gain rewards in heaven, to give you an opportunity to do what God has commanded us to do from the beginning, to be a witness for Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, we'll not have an invitation. It's been home. But let me say this while your heads are bowed before I pray. If you're here and you're a visitor and you've made it into our midst, the Lord Jesus died on Calvary for your sins and paid your way to heaven. And it would be my blessing, and there's so many people in this auditorium that would love to take your hand and then take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Please don't leave this place lost and on your way to hell. Come to me, come to somebody, ask someone near you if you can, they can take you to someone that can show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray, and we'll stand up. We'll stand together, and then we'll pray as we're dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, just a simple message, a simple idea, a simple thought that you gave me tonight, God, but such a great endeavor that you've given the church. God, help us to never lean to our own purposes in this life, but to follow the great commission, the mission that you've given us. Help us, God, as teachers and preachers and workers all around this ministry, to do those essential things that help this great church have the great Sunday school that it has today. I beg you to help us all do our part to get people in for the glory of God. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.